Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. President Trump is pushing for changes to the way we vote, changes that can make it harder for people to cast their ballots. At UVA's Undergraduate School of Business, one professor says that's a bad idea, and he's found proof in a surprising place, a correlation between mortgage rates and voting. Sandy Houseman has that story.
When Donald Trump won his first term in office, many political scientists were surprised, and they concluded that his victory was linked to financial troubles caused by the subprime mortgage crisis and the recession that followed.
One of the hypotheses put forward was this angry voter hypothesis, which said that when people don't like the direction the country or the government is heading, they can go to the polls and change the direction that the ship is sailing.
At UVA's McIntyre School of Commerce, Professor Ben McCartney says that has now become popular wisdom in political circles. And for some people, it's true. But McCartney cross-referenced 11 million registered voters with deeds and found folks whose homes were now worth less than what they owed on a mortgage were less likely to cast a ballot.
If you are really worried about not being able to make your mortgage, or you're worried about the value of this major investment, then you might say, look, I'm going to focus on these priorities and I'll get around to voting next time.
In other words, they had more pressing problems than to research who's running for office and where their polling place is. Next, McCartney hopes to track people who'd like to buy a property but can't afford one. In the meantime, he says policymakers should not make voting more difficult. If we're serious about holding on to our democracy, we need to make voting easy, even for people who are struggling financially. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Virginia's Department of Health says there's no evidence to suggest the state is experiencing an outbreak of cyclosporiasis. As of July 4th, 37 cases of the gastrointestinal illness have been reported, and counts may increase in the coming weeks due to the seasonal nature of the illness. Last year, VDH reported 116 cases, and 191 cases were reported in 2024. Starting this week, the agency will post case counts to its own cyclosporiasis website in West Virginia as of Friday. That state has reported 139 cases and 15 hospitalizations. Coming up shortly, it has been more than a decade since Virginia has raised fees for hunting and fishing licenses.
Some people seem to be generally pretty for it. They don't mind paying the extra $5. And others are saying, you know, get off my back. I don't want to pay more.
Fred Eccles talks with Cardinal News reporter Andrew Curley about the proposal and what's involved. Their conversation is up in a little bit. The U.S. Senate is considering a bill on fentanyl trafficking that was introduced by Northern Virginia Congressman James Walkinshaw. Michael Pope has that story.
It's been more than 3 years since Congress mandated that the Department of Homeland Security create a centralized program to collect data on fentanyl and put together a plan to keep chemical precursors from entering the U.S. But that never happened, says Congressman James Walkinshaw, who introduced the Measuring Illicit Fentanyl Trafficking Act.
The Department of Homeland Security has failed to coordinate its efforts to prevent fentanyl trafficking and hasn't been measuring their progress.
Earlier this month, his bill passed the House, Walkinshaw's first bill to make it to the Senate. It was an accomplishment he shared with Republican Congressman Mike McCaul of Texas. The bipartisan duo worked together to establish performance metrics and improve interagency coordination.
Fentanyl is the number one killer of young Americans between the ages of 18 and 45. My children have witnessed 5 funerals. One took fentanyl on Christmas Eve, did not wake up on Christmas Day.
Walkinshaw says he hopes the Senate will pass the bill and get it to the president's desk before the end of the year. I'm Michael Pope.
Governor Abigail Spanberger is on her first overseas trade mission, a 7-day trip to Great Britain, Italy, and France. She is due to meet with business executives in aerospace, defense, advanced manufacturing, biopharmaceuticals, and energy. The governor also plans to meet with Virginia's European partners, aiming to expand exports of farm and forest products. Spanberger says the state's economic future, quote, depends on our ability to compete in the global marketplace while expanding economic opportunity at home. Spanberger will also stress Virginia's rise to third place in CNBC's America's Top States for Business. She left for the trip on the weekend and returns Friday. Roanoke City Schools recently concluded the Dream It, Build It, Work It summer camp. giving 50 students hands-on experience welding and wiring in hopes of preparing them for manufacturing jobs with 7 partner companies. This year's camp included a new program for students with disabilities. Mason Adams has this report.
Sparks Fly is recent participants in the Dream It, Build It, Work It camp show off what they've been doing the past few weeks. Roanoke City Public Schools offers the camp in partnership with SparkForce, the charitable foundation of the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association. 2 camps are targeted at middle schoolers. But this year, the schools added an inclusive camp for students with disabilities who are gearing up to enter the workforce. Cindy Day is senior manager for the SparkForce Foundation.
The manufacturing industry in the U.S. is facing a crisis of workforce shortage, which is predicted to reach over 2 million positions that are going to become unfilled within the next 5 to 7 years. Why would they overlook a population that is underemployed but absolutely capable of filling those positions?
During the camp, students assemble a metal toolbox and build and wire a working lamp. Xavier Stokes is a rising junior at William Fleming High School who participated.
I was doing nothing for the entire summer until suddenly my teacher just up and just suggested it to me. So I took the opportunity, and I can gladly say that I do not regret taking this opportunity.
The inclusive program is one of 12 sponsored by SparkForce across the U.S. School officials hope the camp will become a model for other school systems across Virginia. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
Fees for hunting licenses and other outdoor activities in Virginia could be raised for the first time in more than a decade under a proposal from the Department of Wildlife Resources. DWR says its funding hasn't kept up with inflation and it needs more money in order to do its job. The state's Board of Wildlife Resources will vote on the proposal in August. Reporter Andrew Curley is covering this story for Cardinal News. He spoke with Fred Eccles.
Andrew, how much has the department's budget increased since the last time they raised fees?
By about $10 million, and the last time they raised fees was in 2012. So back then, their budget was roughly $55 million. And what the department said is that, you know, in today's money, considering rising costs and inflation, that would be equivalent to a budget about $80 million.
They also get some federal money, but like so many federal things, it's complicated. What's the process there?
A chunk of the department's funding can come from the Pittman-Robertson Wildlife Restoration Act. There's also the Dingell-Johnson Sport Fish Restoration Act. And essentially what they do is they provide matching funds to state-level wildlife departments like ours for the sale of hunting and fishing licenses. However, the department can only capture those federal dollars based on the number of licenses sold. And what they told me was that there are a number of exemptions. It's not super clear to me what that means, but by and the short, they're missing out on those funds. And with this upcoming budget, they currently don't have a way to capture those funds. However, they are trying to do that in the future.
If these proposals were adopted, in the general sense, how much more would a hunting license cost in Virginia?
It's actually only about $5, and that's relative to like whatever package you get. So you could get a hunting license for a year versus a few years, or you could get a day pass. So between all that, it's going to be roughly $5 to $20. But what the department is doing is raising it to the maximum amount they are allowed to do it, according to state code.
And for the first time in Virginia, there will also be a camping fee in some places. Where will that apply?
So that's going to apply to department-owned wildlife management areas. There's a bunch of those all over the Commonwealth. There's one in Amelia. There's the Chickahominy Wildlife Management Area. There's one by the James River. And the camping fee is going to be about $10.
Motorboat registration would go up $5. There would also be some new regulations.
They want to have it so children under the age of 13 are required to wear life jackets. Generally, they're just requiring like better upkeep and visibility for like water weight markers. Motorboats of 26 feet or less that are capable of developing 115 pounds or more of status thrust they have to be equipped with an engine cutoff switch.
Now, Andrew, you did some research, largely through outdoor supply retailers. What did people tell you about these proposals?
Some people seem to be generally pretty for it. They don't mind paying the extra $5. And others are saying, you know, get off my back. I don't want to pay more. But for the folks who want to influence this decision and share what they think, the DWR website has a portal where you can leave a public comment, and that'll be considered at a meeting in August.
Andrew Curley's story is at cardinalnews.org. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit online independent news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. Rain is possible the next few days. Severe weather also expected Tuesday. Today, fairly cloudy. A bit more sunshine in the far southwest. Spotty showers and storms are possible, primarily in areas west, including the possibility of a stronger storm or two. Highs in the low to mid-80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy. More widespread stray showers. Some rumbles of thunder still possible. Lows in the mid-60s and low 70s. Better chance Tuesday for showers and storms, especially when you get into the afternoon and evening hours. Strong to severe storms are expected. Fairly breezy. Highs in the low 80s to around 91 for Roanoke and areas east, feeling hotter as you move east of the Blue Ridge. More showers and storms Wednesday, fairly breezy. Highs in the upper 70s to upper 80s. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.